Good morning. We're going to start with the call to worship, so please stand if you are able. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. For the Lord our God, and we the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. There are times when our neighbor was hungry, we gave no food, was thirsty, and we gave nothing to drink. We have seen strangers and did not offer welcome. We have at times failed to clothe the naked and visit the sick, and we forget those who are in prison. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all our sins. And by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As the shepherd seeks out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Ephesians, the first chapter. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us to believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Now I can read these again if you want until Sean gets here.
Okay, I'll try to read slow. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to these on his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and we gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these, who are members of my family. You did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then he will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked and sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Well, we got a couple minutes here before Sean shows up. He is over at St. Paul's in North Robinson, helping them out this morning. They are without a pastor this month moving forward. And as we discussed, he is going to start helping them out starting next week. But they needed something this morning, so we pressed on and we're going forward. And with that said, I would like to personally thank each and every person that helped us with the Friendsgiving dinner on Friday. We had a wonderful turnout. We served over 51 meals. That does not include the ones that took some home and the seconds and thirds and other stuff. We fixed 6 turkeys, 30 pounds of potatoes. I don't know how much gravy and dressing and stuff like that, but we had just under a full gallon size bag of turkey left over. Plus we raffled off a frozen turkey, a box with a box of dressing, a 5 pound bag of potatoes, a can of corn, a can of green beans, a can of fruit, a jar of gravy, and a frozen pie. We did 4 of those for 4 different families, and we did a raffle. And all the people that got them. If you've been in the meal ministry and helped out, you tend to know these people and get to know them. And the 4 that won these raffles actually are people that could really use and they appreciate these meals. So it went to the right people. One of the people that won it was a member of this church, and they forewent their prize and said, deliver it to somebody else. So we redrew and gave it to somebody that needed it. So I want to thank each and every person here who volunteered some food, time, or whatever it was to do that Friday. And it was a great turnout. It was probably one of our best Fridays. So I just want to thank each and every person that donated whatever it was. And thank you all for that. Now, Pastor Sean.
Just scroll back up. I did it once.
Now I gotta redo.
Okay. Well, next week we hope this won't happen. As you know, the service times will be adjusted. At least I hope you know that. Because you'll find out when you get here.
so quiet, patient, and beautiful.
Even your children, like all ears.
All right. Have you ever been watching a TV show and all of a sudden you see "to be continued" flash up at the bottom of the screen and you scream, "No!" as if the TV can actually hear you, kind of like you were all screaming at the TV yesterday. Sorry, Marty. Sorry. In the old pre-Netflix binging days, you'd have to wait like a whole week. Or even worse, if it was the end of a season, they did one of those end of the season to be continued, you'd have to wait a whole, you know, summer for this to be resolved. Well, I think we like TV so much because we like good stories and we like good storytelling, but we don't like any of this cliffhanging to be continued stuff. We don't like when there is lack of resolution. We like things resolved. Well, today I'm going to tell you my favorite story, and I promise you this story has an ending. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You guys know this one? The Lord took the man and put him in the garden to till and keep it and said, "Eat whatever you want, just not that tree over there." And you know, so they ate from that tree over there. And God was like, "What did you do?" And the man was like, "She made me do it." And she was like, "The serpent made me do it." And then humanity quickly escalates its evil. They go from stealing fruit to brother murdering brother until eventually we're told, right before God's like, "Hey, I'm going to go ahead and flood this whole earth and kill all you people," we're told that every inclination of the thoughts of human hearts was continually evil. That's not great for us. So God, like I said, was like, "I'm just going to hit the reset button and drown all those people." But he saw Noah. He saw Noah, and he had a little bit of hope. So he said, "Noah, why don't you go ahead and build this really big boat and load all your family on it, and all the animals except for the unicorns. I hate the unicorns. Do not put the unicorns on that boat." And then we are told the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heaven were open. And when the water subsided, humanity, other than Noah and his family, was dead. And God makes a one-sided covenant. Only God has to hold on to this covenant that he will never again destroy humanity with a flood. So humanity recovers. It also recovers its evil. And instead of destroying humanity this time at the Tower of Babel, God scatters humanity, I think kind of as a way to disperse humanity so it can't be concentrated, so the evil can't be concentrated in one place. Except for in Michigan, am I right? So how is God going to do this? Through a chosen people. Through a chosen people. And this chosen people, we start learning about in Genesis chapter 12. Well, at the very end of Genesis chapter 11. But Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, some of the most important verses in the entire Bible, tell us this. The Lord said to Abram, "Who will become Abraham? I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I'm going to curse, and in you all the families of the earth, they shall be blessed." And God goes on to establish this as an eternal, as an lasting covenant with Abraham and his wife Sarah. You with me so far? All right, we got to fast forward through a few seasons of our TV show here. Abraham in his old age has a bunch of descendants. They're not great people. They sell their brother into slavery in Egypt. But this same brother then, plot twist, rescues the whole family during a famine. That generation and then several more, they stay in Egypt and they become enslaved under Pharaoh. Moses, then, a descendant of Abraham, is raised up by God to free these people from slavery, the Israelites from slavery. And God, he, you know, he's got a few tricks up his sleeve. He goes ahead and, you know, sends some plagues. And then eventually Pharaoh's army is drowned in the Red Sea. Now, these Israelites are free to do what? Wander around in the wilderness. And they whine a whole lot about it. They're like, the food back in Egypt was way better than the food here. And then they are given laws and they break them repeatedly, of course. And finally, after 40 years, their offspring, not them, because they whine too much, their offspring are finally allowed to enter the promised land under the leadership, not of Moses, because, you know, he did something weird with a stick and, you know, threw it at water and it was weird. I still don't understand it. But under the leadership of a man named Joshua, there were then lots of bloody wars. The land is mostly won and is divided among Israel's tribe. And boom, the covenant is fulfilled, right? Yeah, not exactly. Because humanity, well, we're still humanity. Joshua dies and we come to the book of Judges. Terrible, terrible people in the book of Judges. Go home and read Judges 19. I promise you, you will be like, what is going on here? For the most part, these are horrible people doing horrible things. And the book ends with these ominous words. In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. Not in God's eyes. Not by the laws that God gave, but in their own eyes. Or Samuel, a prophet, through whom Israel says, we want a king. We are determined to have a king over us so that we may be like the other nations and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles for us. And Samuel laughs and he's like, you think that's what kings actually do? The king will take your sons and your daughters to serve at his whim. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards, and he's going to give them away to the people who support him and keep him in power. He will take grain from you and give them to his officers. He will take the best of your cattle and donkey and flocks, and you will be his slaves. I mean, I summarized that there. That's basically what he said. And they ignored. Israel got their kings. Hooray! And they got a lot of really, really bad kings. I mean, there's some minor exceptions in there. And they did pretty much what Samuel said they would do. Even their best king, King David. Yeah, King David. He's great. Woo! King David. He killed one of his own officers, Uriah, because David wanted and impregnated Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Yay, King David! This is all to say that humans, we're not great. Human kings, not great. And though the names change, it repeats over and over. And God is like, is this covenantal God, a God that cares for us, a God that cares for God's creation. He said, I've had enough of you idiot human kings. That's a quote. And we hear God's sharp rebuke in the words that the prophet Ezekiel says today. You guys read that one before I got here, right? All right. So shepherd language and shepherd metaphors were commonly used to describe Israel's kings because they were supposed to be shepherds. But they were really bad at it. And the Israelites, when Ezekiel is talking here, they were exiled. They were exiled. They were scattered because these kings were so bad. And Ezekiel cries out, for thus says the Lord, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. God's like, I'm done with you humans. I'm just going to do this myself. I entrusted you kings with power, and you used that power to oppress the weak. You scattered them far and wide. You allowed them to be exiled. Exactly what the prophet Samuel said would happen. Ezekiel continues speaking for the Lord, but I will feed my flock. I will feed my flock with justice. I will save them, and they will no longer be ravaged, and I will set one shepherd over them. David, pause. I'll get back to that in a second. And he shall feed them, and he will be their shepherd. Now you're like, David, didn't you just tell me he was a really bad dude that killed his officer's wife, you know, that he had gotten or you know, no. He killed his officer because he got his officer's wife pregnant. So it's not exactly that David. Let me slow that down. Uriah. Uriah, he really liked Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to take her as my wife. And then Uriah didn't play his game, and he sent him into battle while David stayed home in safety. It's even worse than I made it sound originally. It's bad, just really bad. But this king will be from David's line. Why from David's line? Because this king needs to be a son of David, because this king needs to be a son of Abraham and Sarah. And this king will not be an ordinary, sinful, earthly king, because we've tried that and it doesn't work. This king will be instead called Wonderful Counselor, will be called Mighty God, will be the Everlasting Father, will be a Prince of Peace. This king, this shepherd, is Christ the King who we celebrate on this Sunday. Now, there's lots of exile. The Israelites return, and we're going to skip several seasons of our TV show, and we're going to pick up here in the New Testament. This king, the Son of God, he was born to an unwed teenage mother. Not a good thing back in those days. You got killed for that kind of thing back in those days. Not good. And he didn't look like a king. He was poor. He was not of that ruling class, even though way back in the day, David was his ancestor. He was no longer of that ruling class. But he began curing and teaching and casting out demons. And he hung out with people that no one else wanted to hang out with people the law said he should not be hanging out with. And that made religious leaders really mad. So in turn, he preached against these religious leaders, and they got even more mad, so they had him tortured and crucified. But this king, this Son of God, couldn't even be bothered to stay dead. And on the third day, he rose again. And in doing so, he defeated sin, death, and the devil. I know, I repeat myself a lot, Andrew. And through this king, all the world has been blessed, and that includes us. The end? I like where you're going. It's more like to be continued. To be continued. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, he lied to me earlier. He said this story has an ending. And it does. But Jesus' resurrection and ascension, we often like to think that that's the end. But it's not the end. This story ends when Christ, our King, returns. Unless I'm missing something, this has not happened just yet. Earthly rulers, they still reign. We live in the time of to be continued. And through Jesus who is a descendant of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David, through Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, we are adopted into this to-be-continued story right now, here, today. And we're called to be imperfect blessings to all the families of the earth, just as we have been blessed through the imperfect, yet faithful descendants of Abraham and Sarah. David was not perfect. But he was faithful. So how are we to live faithfully in this to-be-continued time when earthly kings and rulers still reign and sheep are still being scattered and still being slaughtered? Today's gospel is set just before a sham trial. Jesus' sham trial and crucifixion. And still, just before he's going to be killed, he gives us hope by telling us how this story will end. The shepherd will return and separate the sheep from the goats at the end of this age. The shepherd will return, and therefore we are able to live faithfully in hope. And then Jesus teaches us how to do this, how to be a blessing in this, to be continued part of the story. And my summary of it sounds like this: care for the least of these, and you will have cared for me. And now is where you would like me to put a nice little ending on this sermon. But a sermon about living in this to be continued part of the story, it can't end neatly, can it? No, it cannot. Because what I will offer to you that I want you all to carry with you from this place is an uneasiness. An uneasiness in this time of waiting. We are people that have been blessed to be blessing. And therefore, we must carry with us something. Maybe a cross. And I want you to carry these questions. Question one: who are the least of these? Who are the least of these? Not giving you time to think about it today. Carry these with you. Who are the least of these? Jesus gives us some answers. He says, hungry, thirsty, naked, strangers, sick, in prison. But I have to ask, is this really an all-inclusive list? What do you think? Inclusive, I think, is the key word. In the gospel today, Jesus, does he ask us to sort sheep and goats? No. But do we? We do some of the sorting. We do some of the judging. I know I'm guilty. Maybe the least of these includes those who have been excluded, who have been judged by us hypocritical Christians. What if being a blessing means Christ being able at the end of the age to say to us, to you and me, you included me when everyone else said you don't fit into our exclusive, straight-laced Christian club. You said come as you are. No, really, come exactly as you are. Not how society wants you to fit. Not as society says you should fit into a so-called Christian mold, because there is no so-called Christian mold. Come exactly as you are, because there is no normal. We take delight in your weirdness because you are just as weirdly normal as the rest of the confused, broken weirdos that call this place home. When I was lost and broken and rejected by everyone else that said that they were a Christian, you said to me, you matter, you are loved, and you belong right here. And he would say it just like that. And preaching for the day. Two of the least of these. Who am I and who is First Lutheran? Able to feed, able to clothe, able to visit, and able to comfort. Who might we include in this space here and those spaces out there that desperately need to experience unconditional, that means no conditions, no strings attached, unconditional love and acceptance of Jesus Christ through us. And three, how might I or we take action to do this? How do we do it? It's not easy. And I know we as Lutherans don't like this language because it kind of sounds like works righteousness. We have to earn our way to not being a goat. But we have been blessed and are therefore called to be blessings. Jesus Christ gave us a role in this to-be-continued story. But But if we turn down this role, if we refuse it, I think it can be rightly said to us, you are not Christians. Those are Martin Luther's words, not mine. And now, after getting extremely law-y, I'm going to get really gospel-y. I'm going to offer you a bonus question to carry with you, and I am going to give you an answer to that question that I can only give because we were given the end of the story by Jesus today. The question is this: how are we able to live faithfully as characters in this to be continued part of God's story? My answer? We are only able to do it in and through the one to whom this entire story points in the first place, Jesus Christ, who is the one good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is the King, Jesus Christ, who is our King. We're just as broken and sinful as every single other person in this story. But because Jesus Christ defeated sin, death, and the devil, because Jesus Christ reigns over the earthly kings, past, present, and yes, in the future, we are liberated from having to worry about this ridiculous, stupid, awful question: am I a saved sheep or am I a burning goat? And we are freed, therefore, to love and serve and welcome and include the very least of these. If it was not for Jesus Christ, I can tell you this: we would most certainly be burning goats. But because of Jesus Christ, because of his life, death, and resurrection here, we are sheep. We are sheep of his very own fold. And because of that, when Christ returns as our King, this story is complete. And the shepherd will say to us, as we heard in the gospel today, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you at creation from the foundation of this world." This is what God always wanted for us, God's good people. So for that ending, For the ending for which we wait, for the ending for which we know is going to come, and for the ending which stands as really a new beginning, a beginning when Christ will truly reign over all of this and all of us. For that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen. I know, Lydia, it was too long. What do you want from me? No.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need.
Holy God, from Christ we receive our call to feed, clothe, and welcome. Open our hearts and minds here at First Lutheran, that we may look for God's activity here in Galleon, that hope, mission and evangelism, and meal ministry might be bolstered by the power of the Holy Spirit and be moved to engage with the community around us to answer Jesus' call. Direct us to respond to this call with faithfulness and generous love, both here in Galleon and by partnering with organizations like the ELCA World Hunger. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. In Christ, we know merciful judgment, and as followers of Christ, we recognize injustice. Stretch out your sovereign hand and guide the rulers of every nation that violence, oppression, and injustice may cease. Guide the work of those negotiating the release of hostages and a truce between Israel and Hamas, that this tenuous truce may continue, that aid may flow, and that hostages may continue to be released. May these agreements provide aid, relief, and the protection of civilians and refugees, and comfort for the families that are reunited with loved ones. Let us not forget other troubled places on this earth and those entrusted with earthly leadership, humbly working for peace and justice. We pray for those who allow aid to come to all who are underserved and care for any who are neglected. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. In Christ, we feel the depth of your love and care toward us. Nourish all who hunger, connect any who are isolated, and surround all who experience rejection or abuse. We pray for those who suffer, especially the family and friends of Jane Ness, the family and friends of Sandy Craig. For Paul, Marty, Mike, Marianne, Evelyn, Bobby, Mary, Michael, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. As we have already begun celebrating this holiday season, we especially raise to you those who are confined to their homes or assisted living facilities, and those who find celebrating these holidays to be difficult. Sustain them with the peace that only you provide. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Holy God, in Christ we are made the people of this pasture, of his pasture, and through him we are welcomed home. In and through Jesus Christ, First Lutheran is made one with your universal church of all times and places. We praise you for the faithful witness of those in your flock that have served as bellwethers, extending your welcome and love to us. We especially lift to you this day all the saints of First Lutheran that have gone before us, especially Jane and Sandy. Unite us with them as one body of Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy. through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. And we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
God of all goodness, generations have turned to you, gathered around your table, and shared your abundant blessings. Number us among those that, as we gather these gifts from your abundance and give thanks for your rich blessing, we may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave it for all to drink, giving thanks and saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us, on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal, among your people, and throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ is the King, and we are invited by him to his banquet. Come to this table where all are included, and all are welcome.
Amen. The blood of Christ. Please stand as you're able to do so.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for a few brief announcements. First, thank you for your patience this morning as I was making the trip back from in North Robinson, which I will start doing regularly now. And their service will be at 8:30. And that means that next Sunday, mark your calendars, we will start worshiping at 10 a.m. starting next Sunday, December 3rd. Hope Team will be decorating the sanctuary today after the service. If you can stay and help, that would be wonderful. We're getting pizza, am I right? Is that true? Domino's, if I'm not mistaken. It's really close by. So, all right, there's a tree in the back. If you would like to help us with the family we're adopting for Christmas, please bring wrapped gifts with the tags by December 17th. Starting next Sunday after the service, I will once again start adult education. If you all want to stay that late, starting at 11:15. My installation's coming up. Still got a couple weeks. December 12th, and there's some other announcements in here that you can read. As Mike said, thank you all so much, or as I kind of heard Mike saying, thank you all so much for everything you did to help with and donate to the Friendsgiving meal. It was a great turnout. A lot of people who needed to be fed were fed, and there was a lot of really good fellowship and food, of course. That was had at that meal. Are there any other announcements this morning? No? All right, then. Please stand as you're able to do so. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, may this God give you reason to rejoice and to be glad. And may this God bless you. In the name of the Father, our Sovereign, in the name of the Son, our Savior, in the name of the Spirit, our Sustainer. May this God be with you now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Before I dismiss you, I did forget two announcements. I was informed this morning that last night, as you may have gathered from the prayers, that Jane Ness passed away. And I was told on Friday that Sandy Craig passed away. So please keep their family and friends in your prayers. And now, Jesus, the one good shepherd, is our sovereign and king.
Go therefore, feed the hungry, offer drink to those who thirst, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, and comfort and visit the sick and imprisoned.
Thanks be to God.